All glories to the sound of the peace. All glories to the Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Krista Vidaya Shrimad Bhakti Vedanta Swamadham Namaste Parashrimadhyaya Bhavavani Parashrimadhyaya Nirvishesha Shrimadhyaya Pashtasya Devastana Om Aganatvanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Didati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vidantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Svitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinavanda Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Padidanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shedvaiti Vidadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 8. Questions by King Parikshit, text number 22.
Yam
va anushayinam sarga pasandasya cha sambhava atmana panda moksha cha Yavastanam Sva Rupataha Yovamu Shainam Sarga
Yovamu Shainam Sarga
Pasandasya Chasambhava
Pasandasya Chasambhava
Atmano Bandha Moksha Cha
Atmano Bandha Moksha Cha
Yavastanam Swarup Rupataha
Yavastanam Swarupataha
Yovanu Shainam Sarga
Yovanu Shainam Sarga
Pashandasya Chasambhava
Pashandasya Chasambhava
Atmano Bandha Moksha Cha
Atmano Bandha Moksha Cha
Yavastanam Swarupataha
Yavastanam Swarupataha
Yam, all those.
All those.
Va,
either.
Anushayinam.
Anushayinam.
Merged into the body of the Lord.
Merged into the body of the Lord.
Sarga.
Sarga.
Creation.
Creation.
Pashandasya.
Pashandasya.
Of the infidels.
Of the infidels.
Cha.
And.
Sambhavaha
appearance
Atmanaha of the living entity Banda condition
Moksha
being liberated Cha
also
Yavastanam
being situated
Swarupataha in an unconditioned state Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Please also explain how, merged in the body of the Lord, living beings are created, and how the infidels appear in the world. Also, please explain how the unconditioned living entities exist. Purport. The progressive devotee of the Lord must inquire from the bona fide spiritual master about how living entities merged in the body of the Lord again come back at the time of creation. There are two kinds of living entities. There are the ever-liberated, unconditioned living beings, as well as the ever-conditioned living beings. Of the ever-conditioned living beings, there are two divisions. They are the faithful and the infidels. Of the faithful, there are again two divisions, namely the devotees and the mental speculators. Mental speculators desire to merge into the existence of the Lord or to become one with the Lord, whereas the devotees of the Lord desire to keep separate identities and constantly engage in the service of the Lord. The devotees who are not fully purified, as well as the empiric philosophers, become conditioned again during the next creation for further purification. Such conditioned souls become liberated by further progress of devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Pariksit asks all these questions from the bona fide spiritual master or to become fully equipped in the science of God. Yo vanu shainam sarga pasandasya cha samrava atmano bandamoksha cha yavastanam sarupataha. Please also explain how merged in the body of the Lord living beings are created and how the infidels appear in the world. Also, please explain how the unconditioned living entities exist. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vudaya Srimadevi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Karavani Vacharane Nirvishe Sharshan Nivadi Paskya Dhyade Sitarane. Anyone recognize this word? Shaina? Seen that before?
Shaina, sleeping?
Yes. But where that word is very common. Actually, shayana means to lie down. Yes, garbhadaka shayi vishnu. Shayi to lie down. Sleeping is svapna.
Svapna is dream.
Yeah, that's dream. Well, there's different types of sleep. There's deep sleep, and then there's dreaming, and then there's this ordinary sleep. So here, shayi means to lie down. So anu means to continuously, one after another. So when you lie down for a long time, that's called anu shayana. That means you're lying down for 311 trillion 40 billion years. After such a rest, you probably won't need an alarm clock to wake up. Just imagine, after 311 trillion 40 billion years of being lying down, suddenly the alarm clock light goes off and you say, well, just a few more years. Because the last creation is pretty difficult. So here we find Pariksit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami different questions. The original question that Shukadeva Goswami asked was, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And in the answer to that question, immediately, Shukadeva Goswami said, Varyan esha te prashna krito loka hitarifaha. So he's quite impressed by the question, because he said such questions are beneficial for everyone. So it's not that every question is beneficial, because as he says in the next verse, that shokavyadini rajanja Srinam Shanti Sahasra Shaha Apashatam Atmatatvam Griheshu Grihamedina. Generally, people in this world, they have hundreds and thousands of questions about Grihamedi. Griha means house. So, everyone's living in a house. This body itself is a house for the soul and for the super soul. Krishna says, Shetra Jnana Chapiman Vidi Sarva Shetresha Bharata Shetra Shetraya Jnanam Yata Jnanam Atamama. Or, Iti Shetram Tata Jnanam Tata that this body is called a field. Idam Kshetram. That this body is called a field, and one who knows this body is a knower of the field. So this body is a house or a field for the living entity, and the living entity is expanding his field in order to enjoy different types of pleasure based upon so-called love. So every living entity has questions about this field, because basically the material world means the place of ignorance. Therefore, we're always trying to figure out how to enjoy the field, or how to protect the field, or how to protect this body. And therefore, there are so many questions. Shukadeva Goswami sums them up as Nidraya Riyate Nakdam Vavayana Chavavaya Divya Charte Arajan Katumba Bharne Nava. Generally, people are concerned about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And people are considered to be progressive if they become more expert at eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Especially in this age, when people are able to make money and economically advance, they're considered to be reaching the summit of existence. And if a person has no money but has good qualities, he's considered to be a parasite on society. So this is a dharmam, dharmam iti ya, manyate tamasavritaha, sarvatam viparitamascha, buddhisaparthatamasi. That knowledge in the mode of ignorance, or intelligence in the mode of ignorance, means to mistake religion to be irreligion, and irreligion to be religion. And under the spell of illusion, darkness, such people are always striving in the wrong direction. So the fact is that everyone is always asking questions. It is the nature of living entity to ask questions and to receive answers. At every step of our lives, we're asking questions, either directly to someone else, or subtly we're actually asking questions to the super soul. Although people sometimes pray to God, but actually everyone is praying to God at every moment, because we're always desiring, and the desire itself is a prayer. And the person who's fulfilling our desires is ultimately the super soul within our heart, who's answering the questions. Just like before we take a step forward, we ask, what is that? Is that land? Is that water? Is that, what is it? When Duryodhana, he was entered into the palace of King Yudhisthira after the Rajasuya sacrifice. Then due to the arrangement of the palace made by the demon Maya, sometimes land would appear to be water, and sometimes water would appear to be land. And therefore he took a step forward, and the super soul told him within his heart that that is land, but actually it was water. And he wound up in the water, and everyone would laugh at him. So Krishna didn't tell him, because that's, Krishna wanted him to be illusion. He wanted the battle of Kurukshetra, and therefore he instigated it by keeping Duryodhana in bewilderment. But everyone's always asking Krishna questions, and according to one's desire and desert, Krishna is giving the answers. Savasya chaham ridhi sanivishto madak smritira jnanam aponam cha. But certainly, Krishna is in everyone's heart, and from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. But certainly the inspiration coming from the super soul to the conditioned soul is not always so direct. That the living entity has become conditioned, and therefore he has a limited amount of information due to his conditioning about what is the nature of this world. So everyone is born into ignorance. Kalo Sudra Sambhava. One is born as a Shudra, or actually one is born in completely in ignorance as a child, and therefore everyone needs education. So education means that is a type of disciplined succession, actually. course, there is no real disciplinary succession in the mundane world because everything is based upon mental speculation. According to one's modes of nature, one is situated under, one has a particular vision of this world, and one is conveying that particular illusion of reality to others. So that disciplinary succession actually comes as simply an illusory, passing down illusory conceptions from one person to another. And according to our conception of life, then we've heard that the super soul helps us remember these things. But such limited conceptions of life, Krishna says, cannot actually bring one to the goal of life. Now, what is the goal of life? The goal of life is ultimately to become happy. But as long as one is conditioned by material experience, then there's no question of happiness, because material existence means suffering. Therefore, in every step of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling us, somehow or another, to get free from this conditioned state of life. In the 14th chapter, Krishna says, Parambhuya Parvakshami Gyananam Gyanam Uttama Yash Gyatva Muniya Sarve Param Siddhim Ito Gata. He's going to tell Arjuna the best of all knowledge. So what is this knowledge, the best of all knowledge? So you can build an airplane and fly it to Brahmaloka. What is the best of all knowledge? No, he says, Idam Pasha Idam Gyanam Upashi Dhyam Amasa Dharam Agata Sargevino Pajayante Pralayana Vyantanticha. If you become fixed in this knowledge, you won't have to be born at the time of creation, nor disturb the time of annihilation. Of course, none of us really take that very seriously, since we all believe we're going to be here forever anyhow. What do we have to worry about these things for? But actually, everyone is, according to Bhagavad Gita at least, if you accept the words of Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarva Harascha Aham, Krishna, more than anything else practically in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Mrityu Sarva Harascha Aham, I'm coming as death and taking everything away. Kala Kali Yatam Aham, I am time. Kalos Mivaratara Shiva. So many times Krishna is repeating the same thing again and again. Kalos Mi Lokashe Krit Pravido. Vakansa Mahatamiha Praritak Ritepina Tvam Vanti Sarve Evastita Pratni Uke Shiyoda. Time I am the destroyer of all the worlds, and I've come here to kill everyone. So we may not like hearing this, and people will become very depressed. Why is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, why is the speaker of the Bhagavatam giving us all this depressing information? It's depressing to us because we don't like to hear that we're going to die. If someone stood up and said, I have a formula, we can live here forever, everyone would go, Jai! What is it? Chant Hare Krishna. What? That's not the formula we want. We want to live forever in this body. Because actually it's very disturbing to learn that we have to leave this body and we have to take another one. So here Pariksha Maharaj is wondering, he's asking these questions. So one may wonder, what is the value of asking these questions? Why doesn't Pariksha Maharaj simply ask, you know, who's that gopi with Krishna? Or can you tell me the Ujjvala Nilamani, you know, the Ujjvala Nilamani or Govinda Lailamrita, or some esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna together. So why is he asking about these depressing things, merging into the body of the Lord and then being born at creation? Why is he asking all these things? Because, and especially this question is about the infidels and the devotees or the different divisions. So why do we have to know these things? Because mainly because we're in ignorance. That's why we have to know these things. And if we don't know these things, then the tendency is either to think ourselves to be on a very exalted platform, way beyond reality, or to become so depressed, thinking I'm in such a fallen platform that one doesn't even bother thinking that there's any possibility of making progress. So these two things, either being passion, be bewildered by passion, or bewildered by ignorance, this is the nature of the conditioned soul. And what is the solution? Krishna keeps on saying in Bhagavad Gita that the solution is knowledge. Kapicharasi papevya sarvevya papakrita maha saram jnana planevaiva vrijanam santarishasi. But in this world, that this knowledge is the boat by which one can actually cross over the ocean material existence. This knowledge of discrimination. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that this material world is a place of illusion. We're all illusioned by this material energy, except for a few paramahansas. Everyone else is illusioned by material existence. It is like a great banyan tree. If anyone goes to a park and sees, like in India, in Delhi, they have a banyan tree park. There's one banyan tree, and there's kilometers and kilometers of that banyan tree, because it's all been expanded from the original banyan tree. And no one knows where the original banyan tree is. Where the original one was. So Krishna says this material world is so bewildering that no one can really figure out where it began, where it ended, where its foundation is. So it's so deeply rooted, our illusion. So if we want to figure it all out, then it will not be possible. We'll have to come back to the next. We start psychoanalyzing ourselves, regressing ourselves, trying to figure out why I bite my nails. Then we may have to come back into the next lifetime of Brahma trying to figure it all out. Therefore Krishna says, Nirupam asyaya tato palabhyate namta nachadir nachasam pratishta ashvatame nam savirunamulam asanga shastrena tridena chitva. We have to cut down chitvena. We have to cut down the banyan tree. We can't start trying to pull it out or trying to figure out where the roots go to, because they spread everywhere. So how to cut down the banyan tree? The sword is detachment, Krishna says. But detachment, renunciation, it has to be sharpened by knowledge and discrimination. Our renunciation will not be very deep. Our detachment will not be very deep. Unless we're actually absorbed in transcendental knowledge. So there are so many subtleties to material consciousness, and transcendental knowledge will be able to illuminate all the subtleties. For example, in the beginning of the ninth chapter, Krishna begins by saying, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagara vyaktam vartina matstani sarvabhutani na chaham te shavasitaha. The most confidential knowledge, Krishna is saying, he begins by explaining that although he's everywhere by his energies, still he's aloof from everything. Although he's the cause behind everything, he's the Ishvara Sarva Bhuta, Ishvara Sarva Bhuta, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadya Adya Govinda Sarva Karna Karna. He's Sarva Karna Karna. He's the cause behind everything. So naturally, when someone hears this, they'll blame Krishna for everything. That my car was wrecked today because of Krishna. He's the cause behind it. So why don't I go to the deity and tell him to pay up? He has the money, so why does he just keep on smiling when I complain to him? He did it. He says he's the cause behind everything. So Krishna has to explain the subtleties, the intricacies, what it means that he's the cause behind everything. Because otherwise we'll blame him for everything bad and take the credit for everything good. So there Krishna explains that yes, he's the cause of everything, but he's, in the material world, he's neutral.
Let's see.
See, this is the ninth chapter. Vishamam tani karmani nibhananti dhananjaya udasinad varasinam asaktam teishu karmasu. That Krishna says, I'm ever detached, I'm neutral, I'm just like the judge. So we have to understand Krishna, that he's not just Krishna, because he is Krishna, but he's not, and when he appears in different places, he doesn't act the same, nor do we act the same. That God is not just one identity, as in the Western world, he's generally, if they think they know something about God, he's one person. And that one person is like, either he's some old man sitting on a throne, you know, throwing people to hell and handing out harps and trumpets to people. Or he's some, you know, what else is he? I don't know. That's probably the limit, what they know. But God is such a unlimited person. He has so many different identities, so many different activities, so many different ways he manifests himself. So unless we understand about Krishna, we'll misunderstand him. Just like Putana came to poison Krishna, and Krishna sucked at her, he kind of winked at her or whatever, took her breast and sucked it and killed her. So what kind of little kid is this? Don't go near him, who knows? He's in a bad mood, who knows what's going to happen to you? That actually Krishna didn't kill Putana. What do you mean Krishna didn't kill Putana? We have, you know, we have a snapshot. Now he's claiming he didn't kill her. But we saw it with our own eyes. Mother Jasoda was right there, not, you know, Rohini was right there. He sucked her breath, she died, screaming, "Leave me, child." Who else was killing her? But then we find out that actually there was another identity merged into Krishna, Vishnu. And as soon as Putana came to kill Krishna, then Vishnu manifested himself and killed the demon. So if you want to arrest anyone, go after Vishnu. So these things we have to understand. Otherwise we'll think, what, you know, in the spiritual world, in Krishna, sometimes he has these moods. But actually Krishna has only one mood in the spiritual world, unalloyed love, and everything in the spiritual world and everything even after that manifests from Krishna's unalloyed love, loving exchanges with his devotees. Then when Krishna as Vishnu killed Putana, it wasn't out of animosity. You know, you want to kill me, you witch? Then we'll find out who's going to die. No, it was out of also a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. So although Krishna has nothing to do with these things, he expands his personality into so many incarnations, and so when he does kill, or when he does fight on the battlefield, Kurukshetra, with the wheel running after Bhishma Dev, this manifestation of his personality is absolute. Krishna in his pastimes in Vrindavan, playing on the flute, dancing the Rasa dance, he's not concerned with these things, but the same unalloyed, loving, compassionate nature is manifested when Krishna runs after Bhishma with a wheel in his hand, or when he sucks the breast of Putana and kills him. So then we can appreciate Krishna in all his activities. So here we can also appreciate something about Krishna manifesting as the devotees or the faithful and the infidels. That unless we understand these things thoroughly, we'll misunderstand them. So therefore even Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Dvali mo purusho loke shara chakshara eva cha sara sarvani bhutani kutasto shara uchite. Then this world, there are two kinds of created beings, the fallible and then the infallible. In the spiritual world, everyone is infallible, and here everyone is fallible. So we have to see that what it means to be fallible, what it actually means. Does it mean that I'm a great technician, and that all my computers, you know, they run for years without any problem, so I'm infallible. Or whenever I play basketball, I always get the ball through the hoop, therefore I'm infallible. So infallible means that those were actually in harmony with Krishna. Since the purpose of everything is to please Krishna, no matter how nicely one is able to try to eat, just like if you have food, the purpose of food is what? It's to eat it. But if you want to eat food, there's only one way of eating the food. There's only one bona fide way. You have to put it into the mouth. So the only way, real way of eating food is to put it into the mouth. Then you're doing the right thing. So similarly, the purpose of everything is pleasure. The purpose of life is not to build the biggest skyscraper. And even if it was, or the fastest computer, the purpose of life is to become happy. Nowadays, people think that what is the... Even if we can do something great, even if we become miserable by doing it, that will be a great happiness. So people don't mind living in a city with air pollution, with crime, with everything contaminated and falling apart, because they think they're in a great place. They're doing a great service. No, never mind I'm miserable and suffering, but I'm doing a great thing. But actually the real thing is transcendental pleasure. Everyone is actually looking for happiness. Everyone is actually looking to expand their loving propensity in a way that will actually bring ever-increasing satisfaction. But because people are misdirected, they don't know how to do it. Therefore, that's called fallible. They don't know that the actual stomach, the source of creation, is Krishna, and unless Krishna is satisfied, then no one can be happy. It doesn't matter what they do. That there's no progress at all unless one serves Krishna's instructions. That even in the material world, progress means to follow Krishna's instructions. But real progress, real infallibility, ultimately means to be actually in harmony with the idea that my life is successful if I do something to please Krishna that's pleasing to Krishna. And those who reject this idea, those who think I'm going to become happy independently, are compared to just like the finger who's detached from the hand. No matter how pretty the finger is, when it's detached from the hand, you may put nail polish on it, you may decorate it with, you know, roses and sing praises to it, but it's useless. It has no value. Everyone else, all the other detached fingers, may get together and glorify each other, but after all, they have no real value. Their purpose is not being fulfilled. That the fingers, they have to bring the food also to the stomach. That if the fingers try to separately enjoy the food, they can't get really any enjoyment. But if they're thinking, I don't like this idea that why the stomach should be put into such a prominent place, why not fingers? Finger power. Finger liberation. Enough with the stomach. Let him do his own thing. Why should everyone serve the stomach? So unless we recognize that actually our interest is actually Krishna. Nitevidu swartikatim hi vishnu dharashaya bahir artamanina. So unless we recognize that our real interest is Krishna, then we'll take some other thing as being interesting. You go on the internet, people are finding hundreds and thousands of things to be interested about. But not so many people interested in Krishna. So all those persons who are interested in other things, trying to be happy in other ways, they're compared to the finger trying to enjoy the food or refusing to give it to the stomach. So they won't be successful, Krishna says. Mogaisha mogha karmano, mogha jnana vicheta saha, rakshasi masriyam chaiva, prakriti moinim shritaha. Their hopes of liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge will all be unsuccessful. And what is the result? Simply they come back to repeated birth and death in this world. Mrityu sarvahara ashvadadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravartmani. Mrityu samsaravartmani. They come back again. They don't obtain me, therefore again and again they have to come back to so-called try to find something interesting in this material world. Punat punas charvita charvanana. Go on chewing the same thing. The same thing we chewed in the last creation, the last 20 million creations of Brahma, we can come back and chew it again. Although there's nothing in it, but one more time. Give a good old one last chew. So this is the knowledge that's being explained here. People will not like to hear it. Most people merging into the Supreme Law. You know, people say, oh, this is all mythology. Can't happen to me. I'm here forever. Therefore, the very basic principles of Krishna consciousness, that we're not this body, have to be understood. And then these things become a little interesting. I'm not this body, I'm now in a body, material body. What is my future? Any sane person will ask, where am I going? Am I going? And therefore Krishna will, this is all meant to inspire us to become faithful, and faithful to the point where Krishna says we don't have to come back to this mrityu samsara vartmani, this path of birth and death. And if we think, well, it's not bad coming back. Maybe the next creation will be better. It's progressive creations. Therefore, we better read the Bhagavatam. And find out that in the material world, you can't win, you can't break even. That no one, since time immemorial, which means trillions of lifetimes of Brahma, has made it. So if we think, I have a better chance than anyone in this lifetime, then good luck. Prabhupada writes that in one purport also. If we want to enjoy this material world, Krishna will give us all facility and wish us good luck, but it's impossible. Anyhow, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
What about Krishna killing other demons in Vrindavan? Is that what Krishna is doing?
Vishnu, only Vishnu kills demons. Krishna doesn't kill anyone. He only plays on his flute, dances with the gopis. He has nothing to do with those things. That's Narayan. But of course, when Narayan manifests himself through Krishna, the demons get special mercy. Generally, the demons don't get so much mercy otherwise. Yes.
We say I'm more attracted to Krishna than Vishnu. It's past times much more attracted to sweet, and might not be in that platform, but still is more attracted to those past times.
Krishna.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, but we should be, in the beginning, at least according to our acharyas, as far as the past times that we should emphasize and know intimately about, is our pastime now in the material world. Or Krishna's pastimes in the material world and here in this, because this is something we're dealing with 24 hours a day, this material existence. So although somehow or another we think it's apart from Krishna, but actually it's not apart from Krishna at all. So when we can see it completely connected with Krishna, then we'll actually, this is the easiest way, this is the only way actually we can really enter into Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, his actual sweet pastimes. Only when we understand everything here completely in relation to Krishna, we become free from the illusory influence, and therefore become most eligible to actually experience and appreciate Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Otherwise, as long as we see things apart from Krishna, then to that degree we have to be covered by the illusory energy. Just like if you have a glove on your tongue and there's a big feast, you may appreciate, wow, look at those preparations, glove demons, samosas, halava, curd subjis, but because there's a glove on your tongue, you can't really enjoy it so much. So, in order to participate in the feast, the best thing to do is remove the glove. So the glove in the material world is to see things as part apart from Krishna, because we act as if we're independent of Krishna. So when we understand Krishna intimately in this material world, then we can the police force of Maya will not cover us. And when our spiritual senses are purified and they're actively engaged in Krishna's service, then we'll be able to relish Krishna's sweet pastimes in Vrindavan fully. Anything else? Yes.
In the beginning of the class, you said that we are always praying. Does that mean that we are always praying for good things?
Usually not. Usually the soul is wasting its time. In the form of a bird is praying, you know, cheep, chirp, chirp, beep, beep, where's the worm? That's what he wants to know. Generally, most living entities in the material world, they're praying where the worm is. And sometimes they pray a little bit more, you know, where's a good place to sleep? She loves me not. Asking those questions. So, generally most people's questions are not very philosophical. Tasyaiva heto prayate te kovido. Talabhyate tad brahmatam upariyatam nalabhyate sukhavat anyatak sukham dukhavat anyatak sukham kayena sarvatra kayena sarvatra gadira ramhasa. So those who are actually philosophically inclined, they inquire for that purposeful end which is not found by wandering up and down through all the planetary systems. As far as happiness goes, that will automatically be attained in due course of time. Just like in due course of time, even without effort, we obtain misery. So only when we get good association do we actually inquire about higher topics. Otherwise, generally, our topics or our inquiry about the Krishna are quite on the basic levels of eating, sleeping, bathing, and defending. But everyone's inquiring about that, at least. If we're on the Anamaya platform, which is about where to eat, the Pranamaya platform, how to stay alive, the Manamaya platform, how to enjoy the material world, the Vijnana platform, Vijnanamaya, when one becomes inquisitive, jignasu, shreya uttama, about the ultimate purpose of life, then one will inquire about that. So that's the beginning of human life, real human life. Yes?
So we usually desire what we are not or what we don't have, but if we do get what we deserve, then what's the use of it?
There's no use. Well, desire and deserve. Prabhupada said first deserve and then desire. Before you can become a high court judge, first become a lawyer. Not that I couldn't get out of high school, but I want to become a high court judge. So I'm sitting in my room, you know, desiring. No, do something to deserve it, and then if you desire it, automatically it will come. So we should do things that, and then if you desire something, it will automatically come. If we want to become, if we want to get all the mystic powers, then surrender to Krishna. And then you'll be able to get them. Otherwise, if you don't surrender to Krishna, who is the source of all the mystic powers, you may desire them, but you won't get any of them. So whatever we want, we should deserve, and then it'll be easy. So rather than worrying about so much what we don't have, qualify ourselves, and then naturally it'll come. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaurav Prabhupada.